A Kimberley legal service has welcomed major reforms to WA's social housing waitlist, but says more needs to be done to address issues such as maintenance, overcrowding, and a lack of housing stock in the region. From 2028, a new matrix of need will determine who gets a social house based on five categories: safety, housing circumstances, medical conditions, accessibility needs, and cultural considerations. Here's Housing Minister John Carey explaining the rationale for the change earlier this week on ABC Radio.
This is the truth, is the needs of our tenants are getting more complex. Mm. So we're really trying to get more into the detail to assess people. And look, this system we've had was introduced in the 1950s. The majority of other states now use the system which we're moving to, which is effectively working to reduce waiting times for those who are of greatest need, and then everyone else is on a register of interest. And what that means is generally they've got housing. They might not like that housing, but they do have housing, and they are not the most vulnerable or in the most immediate need to get access to social housing.
Housing Minister John Carey. Currently, the two-tier system has 8,000 people on the priority list out of 23,000. Kimberley Community Legal Services has been advocating for changes to the poor state of social housing. CEO Matthew Panai spoke to Dunya Karagic about the proposed waitlist reforms.
Well, like our sector partners, such as WACOS and Shelter WA and the Centre for Women's Wellbeing and Safety, we genuinely welcome the government's commitment to ensuring housing is directed to those who need it most, and doing that by moving to a needs-based assessment framework.
Can you tell me a bit about, I guess, what the waitlist currently looks like in the Kimberley and what this will mean for people who have been waiting a long time for housing here in the region?
So the waitlist in the Kimberley, as of I think the most recent stats are from 2023, but is around double the waitlists of the majority of the Kimberley. So I think it was around 220 weeks compared to 220 weeks, which is over 4 years for the wait time, compared to 131 weeks in metropolitan regions. So anything that can assist people who are the most in need for housing is really welcomed.
And do you have any concerns or, I guess, questions about how this matrix will be measured by housing staff against particular clients that are on that list?
I think there are lots of questions, and we're really keen to be part of the consultation to make sure it reflects what our clients are currently going through. So, for example, we've recently supported a single mum with four kids who became homeless after fleeing family and domestic violence. She was in a situation then where she had to split her kids across different households and was trying to care for a newborn at the same time. And we're really keen to see how the matrix will work to ensure that these our client's circumstances, which is almost a daily occurrence, to be honest, are reflected in the matrix.
And the WA opposition has said about this that, you know, there's no point moving up a queue if the queue isn't moving. Sort of, what do you make of that? Will this solve anything if there might not be enough houses available currently in the region?
That is a good point. And this is one piece of a much bigger puzzle. And the challenges in the Kimberley are much greater than, as you said, who gets to the front of the queue. We've had a severe shortage of housing across the Kimberley region that doesn't meet the needs of our community for a very long time. I think we've got one of the longest housing wait times in the state, as well as the highest rates of overcrowding in the state as well. And all of that puts enormous pressure on the homelessness rate. So absolutely, this is welcomed, and it's an important piece of the puzzle, but it is only one piece of the puzzle. And the other piece, as well as the housing stock that's available, is the quality of that housing stock and the maintaining of that stock, which is something that we're delving into at KCLS. And we're in the process of putting together a report after conducting a housing maintenance survey with public housing tenants across the Kimberley, both in the towns and in the communities, over a 12-month period. And we look forward to talking to government about our recommendations that will be coming out of that report in August this year.
Yeah, tell me a bit about what you're finding. So, like, is the rate of maintenance that's being completed and needed, is that keeping up with demand?
Short answer, no. It's not. And I think, to be fair to the government, they would probably concede that there are some real challenges with the way the maintenance system is working at the moment. They're conducting their own significant review of housing maintenance contracts and the centralised contract model that they currently have, and recognise that there are some real challenges in not only the costs, but the time that people wait for their maintenance issues, whatever priority those maintenance issues are, whether they're the urgent priority one issues or the priority four issues. There are some real challenges in the maintenance being done in a timely and cost-effective fashion.
Mm. And during that consultation period, what are the main questions you'll be asking the government?
We want them to take into account the lived experience of our clients to ensure that whilst the matrix looks from what's been released, we'll take into account what's, the really critical factors, how those factors are going to be weighted to ensure that those in the most need and in the particular context of the Kimberley are housed first.
And you did mention earlier overcrowding, and overcrowding's a big issue in the Kimberley region. Will this new announcement, do you think this will do anything in solving the overcrowding issue that we have here in the Kimberley?
No, I don't think it will do anything to solve overcrowding. Overcrowding is another piece of the puzzle around housing stock, and I think we're probably yet to see, even after the budget, any announcements on new public housing stock, both in town sites and communities in the Kimberley. So I look forward to hearing what government's strategy is for that. I understand that there's been some money allocated for some new builds, but that's definitely another piece of the puzzle.
And before these changes come into effect in 2028, what are the main things that you would like the government to do in terms of housing in the region?
I think one thing I'd really like them to do is to look at it as a system and consider an overall strategy rather than looking at the pieces of this puzzle in isolation. New builds, I'm not sure how many new builds there's been in Aboriginal communities in the Kimberley over the last decade or so. I'm not aware of any. That's not to say there hasn't been, but I'm certainly not aware of any in the Kimberley. That's really significant. I think maintenance is huge, not only because of maintenance waiting times, but because of neglect of housing stock over time. Mm-hmm. So the recent Auditor General's report looked at an audit that the department had done of their oldest housing stock across the state. And in the Kimberley, the average cost for a house to be made compliant and to standard was well over $100,000. And that's in comparison to in the metro areas, the average cost to make the oldest houses that are on the department's books to standard was between $35,000 and $50,000.
Yep,
so there's some real significant work to be done across the whole of the system, I think, and how the system works, rather than just picking pieces out of the system and trying to address them in isolation.
That is Kimberley Community Legal Services CEO Matthew Panai speaking to Dunya Karagic about the needs of social housing in the Kimberley and some changes that they'd like to see, but also this new matrix that's going to come in from 2028 to determine who gets a social house based on five categories.